Welcome to Brands and Campaigns, the stories and people behind clever marketing moves, powered by EKR. I'm your host, Camden Bernat, Creative Director and Head of Brand Strategy at EKR. And today, I want to talk about something that is a recent campaign. Maybe you've seen before, and if not, you should definitely check it out. Blockbuster. You've heard about it before, maybe you didn't know it was around anymore, but there actually is still a Blockbuster location located in Bend, Oregon, the last of the brand, and still holding strong out there. And there is a campaign that came out recently in a response to a move by Netflix, actually. So Netflix, of course, a lot larger company nowadays than Blockbuster is anymore, and kind of played a role in the ending of the Blockbuster brand as the way we knew it. But Netflix, on September 29th, I believe it was, ended their DVD program. I don't know if you knew that, but they send DVDs out in the mail, and they were still doing that up until this last month. But now, no more. If you didn't know that, you missed the boat. You can't get DVDs from Netflix anymore. But in response to that, this last Blockbuster location put out a campaign, a little clever and funny campaign, in response to still having to the move by Netflix and the fact that they still have DVDs. And so joining the podcast today is A.O. Baker, who played a pivotal role in putting together that Blockbuster campaign. And I want to get some insights from him on how that came to be and just kind of the behind the scenes. So welcome to the show, A.O. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me. Thank you for the introduction. I'm honored to be asked to talk a little bit about the Blockbuster campaign. It was very fun to work on, a very fun brand. And it's been fun. It's been a good time. But thank you for having me, for sure.
Yeah, thank you. And tell us a little about yourself and your role and how this project kind of landed on your desk.
Sure. So I am a copywriter. I work at Atlantic New York. It's the name of the advertising agency. Previous to this campaign, we did a campaign earlier this year, right around the Super Bowl for Blockbuster. So this was my second campaign that I was able to work on for the brand. But yeah, like this was something that Netflix kind of announced. You know, I don't remember exactly when. I know right over the summer, May, June, we started talking mm-hmm. about like really going into getting briefed on exactly what we wanted to do. And then, you know, just kind of brainstorming and kind of putting those first pieces of ideas and thoughts down on docs. But yeah, so I'm the copywriter that wrote the lines and the headlines and the captions and all the fun stuff for this last campaign.
Yeah, I want to, of course, this is a podcast, so those who are listening, I encourage you to go check out the visuals of this later, but I have it pulled up here on the Instagram account and some of the articles, like some of the lines you wrote are, "We still have DVDs and humans, Blockbuster, till the bitter end." There's another one you should go check out on their Instagram where it's got the little bouncing DVD symbol, which people haven't probably seen in a long time unless you've been watching DVDs. And it says screensaver and chill, not only a Blockbuster. And then there's also, yeah, kind of a fun little call out to Netflix itself. Yes, Netflix, we're still watching. So a unique campaign, not only because of the humor in it, but Blockbuster is a unique situation in which it's a well-known national brand that's no longer a national company, right? Usually you don't have that situation where everyone knows who it is, but no one really goes and uses them anymore. So I'm curious, was the team at Blockbuster, did they come to you and your team and ask to be prepared for this? Or were you already thinking proactively and having worked with them before, you were proactively pitching this opportunity to them?
A little bit of both, because like we knew that date was coming up, but this is, like you mentioned, this is a very small company. You know, like you mentioned earlier, this is a really an international brand. There were mm-hmm. Blockbusters all around the world that spend, you know, millions of marketing dollars back in the 80s and 90s. And it became, you know, a lot of people keep Blockbuster close as far as something that they remember from their childhood is like that nostalgic thing. But seeing how we had a really good response to that Super Bowl campaign early in the year. So it was a very organic conversation, being that we knew we wanted to do something else with Blockbuster pretty soon, not only to capitalize on the momentum that we built during the Super Bowl, but also to just kind of poke a little fun and have some fun with this Netflix news that was coming out. So the general gist and the idea was, knowing that this was coming out, knowing that Netflix started their DVD business after Blockbuster was around, and obviously we all know the effect of that.
Yeah.
But people have been writing Blockbuster off forever. You know, it's dying, it's dead, it's dying, it's dead. But like you mentioned, there's this one store that's still there. It's still in Bend, Oregon. And now it's turned into a bit of like a place where almost people have to make a pilgrimage, like a nostalgic pilgrimage to go. You know, they make a lot of their money now is off of merchandising, where people are buying like little souvenirs, you know, t-shirts and hats and cups, along with their, you know, they still actually do sell, you know, the movies, but a lot of people just want to go because they either remember it or they heard about it, you know, if they happen to skew on the younger side. So we just knew that it was coming up and it would be a good opportunity to, you know, poke a little fun. This is almost, Blockbuster's a challenger brand now.
Yeah.
You know, like they're a challenger brand as long as, even though they've been around for so long, the roles have reversed and now they're challenging all of these streaming giants, you know, for, and everybody's competing with them for attention in general, but you know, they're this brand that people remember for movies, but now this is the place that you can go if you're collecting DVDs or you like the way the DVDs look compared to digital, or if there are movies that are only on DVD that might not be on streaming. So just to service those people and to kind of galvanize the people and the fans of Blockbuster. And again, like just take advantage of what was going on in the news around Netflix.
Yeah, clearly you and your team have had a good understanding of the opportunity, right? It's not just like we're trying to drive video rental sales. Like that's, first of all, you only can have so many of people who are in that location to do that. But understanding that the nature of what the brand is and is trying to accomplish has shifted over time. I'm curious what they are like as a client. Is there motivation to do some of this wide scale, like Super Bowl commercials and this campaign, because they're still trying to make sure that that merchandise and stuff can get sold? Or what's their motivation for maintaining such a wide awareness, I guess, when they do have that one location?
Yeah. So the merchandise, I don't remember the exact number, the percentage, but it makes up quite a large bit of their income. So, you know, it's very important to keep the brand out there. Like if they were just selling DVDs or renting DVDs, they really would have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
So the awareness is, you know, again, to tie in a little bit of nostalgia and, you know, create these fun moments that you can turn into a piece of merchandise or even just awareness to drive people, you know, to the website to order or even to travel there. So that's really the motivation, because like it's not as though Blockbuster is in a position to say, all right, we're going to gear back up to launch this new thing and go after Netflix for real or go after any of these other streaming services, or that's just not the position that they're in. But they're in a very unique position to really connect on an emotional level with people that are familiar with the brand. So it's just important to, you know, if there's news that's relevant, like organically relevant to what Blockbuster means as a brand, it's a perfect time or an opportunity to take advantage of that.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect opportunity with this Netflix situation and being able to kind of capitalize on a bigger company's headlines and being able to slip into that conversation and in a way that's kind of endearing, right? People like to, Blockbuster.
Absolutely. And then even just like to poke fun at things that people know about Netflix, like for example, the we still have DVDs and humans line. It's like, yeah, because when you know, even just thinking about the streaming service, that's all that Netflix has right now. Mm-hmm. You can't ask somebody on the other end of that button, what's the last movie that you saw, or what movie do you recommend, or what's coming in later this week, or just have a conversation that has nothing to do with movies. You know, when I grew up about less than a mile from a Blockbuster that was in, I'm from Roosevelt, New York, but there was one in Freeport, New York that was less than a mile away. And one of the cool things is that every once in a while, you'd bump into somebody that you knew personally that's also there just renting a movie or doing whatever in Blockbuster. So there's that human to human thing that's very unique to a brand that everybody's familiar with that you don't get from a streaming service. So it was also just to the motivation, just to, there's an opportunity here to have fun, you know, to poke and laugh and not take ourselves too seriously, speaking for Blockbuster, and also not do anything that's malicious or to kind of be disrespectful towards the brand of Netflix, but also just to poke a little bit of fun. You know, we still have humans and you can come and talk to us kind of vibe.
Excellent. Were you involved in that line until the bitter end? Do you know how that came about? Can you give us a little behind the scenes and where that line, how that developed?
Sure. So that was the Super Bowl campaign. I'm not sure if anybody saw the commercial. So the general idea behind the line first, until the bitter end, is like we mentioned earlier, people have been writing Blockbuster off for years. Like they've been writing the obituary for the brand Blockbuster for a long time, but they're still here. So there was a joke in there that by the time the apocalypse happens and everything on Earth is burned down, there are only going to be two things left. Right? You haven't been able to kill Blockbuster and you also haven't been able to kill cockroaches. So And, you know, hundreds of years from now, thousands of years from now, there's only going to be cockroaches and Blockbuster left. And this Blockbuster is still going to be serving until the bitter end. So that's kind of the science behind behind the line. And yeah, like there was an opportunity to do something really clever. We did a few teasers as far as like, you know, something big is coming. And, you know, there were little, the team actually flew out to the store and shot some of that at the Ben Blockbuster store. But so yeah, like the until the bitter end basically came from that idea. It's like, once everything is over, this store is going to be able to still be here and serve because you haven't been able to get rid of us yet.
I like that. So speaking about the team, how many people were involved in this? Can you talk about kind of some of the roles and who you worked with? Were you the only copywriter, or how did that work?
For the most recent campaign?
Yeah, sorry, for the most recent one. Yeah.
Yeah. Small team. So Atlantic is a small agency. And at the time, the core team that worked on this project was really five people. So there was myself as the copywriter. Jessica was the art director. So she was my partner on this. And she actually designed all of the, you know, those three pieces that you mentioned earlier. And then the two co-creative, executive creative officers and founders of Atlantic, Marco Pupo and Joao Coutinho. And then our managing director who holds everything together, Suzanne Barbosa. That was the core team. Susie was really the point person that had a lot of the communication between the brand, and specifically Sandy, who is the person that's in the, we still have DVDs and humans spot. Like, that's her. She's the one that actually runs the store. So Susie had a lot of just one-on-one contact with her and making sure that nice. They were on board with the ideas that we were putting together and, you know, what they wanted to do when they wanted to put certain things out into the public. And, you know, but yeah, that was really the team. That was the core team. We got briefed back in, I want to say like the end of May, top of June, something like that. And then it was really Jess and myself that would go off and just, you know, spitball and come up with different things. What can we do? What's going to be funny? What's on brand? What's on brief? What's on tone?
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was really, really small core team, about five of us all together that worked with Blockbuster.
Great. And that's a great example of the importance of when possible, having a long runway to work with and not being like, oh, wait, I think next week at Netflix and DVDs exactly. and trying to scramble, like, exactly. but look ahead and be prepared and have that brief.
Good yeah, it was really important because, like, you know, although this was, you know, by comparison, a pretty simple campaign, you know, this wasn't even the Super Bowl campaign that we did for them earlier yeah. in the year. This was, you know, much simpler. But with that being said, like, you still want to just put the best, most well thought out work out, you know, so this wasn't like a rush job. Like, we spent quite a bit of time. Like, I have, you know, just documents and documents of lines and ideas that we'll never see the light of day because we went with what we thought were the three best, you know, the three best pieces that we can put out, and they connected.
Hey, if they want to see the light of day now, you want to give us some of those lines, we can put them out there. But on a serious note, was there any other direction maybe that got left on the table, or something that was kind of a different move that was considered, or was this kind of the main direction the whole time that you guys felt strongly about?
No, we definitely, like, the good thing about this is, like, other than, you know, lines and just different executions that might not have made it, this was the general idea that we wanted to go in, and we stayed pretty true to that. We just knew that this was an opportunity to have fun and poke a little fun. So we didn't really veer off the path in that sense. You know, there wasn't, we knew we wanted to do social, okay. because like Instagram is obviously their biggest audience. And there was still some momentum and people sharing from the earlier work. And we also had won a couple of like Cannes Lions awards for some of that work.
Nice.
So there was a good bit of momentum that we wanted to capitalize on. But in general, like the idea was always, we wanted September 29th. We know this is going out. We know that we want to post all three of these pieces that day just to capitalize on the conversation. And there were a couple of media outlets that picked it up because of that.
Awesome. Yeah. It's that line till the bitter end. It's great for a lot of reasons, but the fact that it has legs to keep being applied in different ways, like it yeah. works as the Super Bowl commercial, right? And this is a perfect extension of that. Like, again, this is happening with this company, but we're still here, still doing it. And it's got lots of different iterations you can do built around that same,
yeah.
that same line. I like that. Was there any, like, internally, as you're working on this, was there any, like, sticking points or any, like, conflict or disagreement? Was there anything, was a hurdle to get over where people were like, no, we can't do this, or we should do this instead? Or was it all pretty smooth going through?
This was the smoothest, the smoothest piece of work.
You want drama, AO. You got to make something up for it. just kidding.
No, this was pretty easy. This was very fun because there were just so many, you know, ideas and lines that I think the hardest thing is because you're writing all day and you're just locked into the work, or at least speaking for myself, for me to actually laugh out loud at something that I just wrote is like, all right, maybe we should go with that. You know, so that was like the measuring point for me. Was like, is this actually funny? You know, and if I don't really laugh, then maybe it is a good line, but not necessarily the one we should use. But no, like this was pretty easy. And, you know, fortunately, like Sandy and the whole team over at Blockbuster, they're really easy to work with. They're open to suggestion. You know, there have been, you know, horror stories. I'm sure everybody in advertising can talk about just horror stories from working with different clients where they're not willing to do much, or they want to change things, or at the last minute they want to change things, or this idea might have been cool, but you've kind of watered it down, or legal gets involved. There's so many different ways that a really cool idea is less cool by the time it comes out. But that was not an issue whatsoever with Blockbuster.
Good, good. On your team and the way this came about you talked about like you were briefed and stuff before. Did your team internally put that together, or does a client kind of hand you a brief? What's that process like when working with Blockbuster?
Yeah. Susie, Marco, and Drow sat down and put that together. So our two creative officers and managing director, they came up with the brief. And it was simple. Like, we wanted to make sure, like, you know, we kept the date in mind. We kept the fact that, you know, they're a challenger brand. We wanted to, you know, just have, so the three of them really put that together, you know, and they briefed us and we sat with that for a bit. I'm pretty sure that they had, you know, conversations with Sandy, like, all right, is this something that you want to do, or you feel comfortable with? But the three of them put that together. We've had much bigger projects where there's been strategists involved, and, you know, that wasn't the case for this one. This was completely internal.
Gotcha. How does it work? I know this is kind of an open-ended question, but like you've mentioned you have an art director that you work with and you partnered up with. How does that, with something like this, when it's, you know, a big well-known brand, but one location that has places you would take like photography and things like that, how does the balance work? How does that relationship work with you and the other side of the creative when it comes to like, okay, we have the brief. Did you come up with writing a bunch of words first and then they think about how they can pair it visually, or do they pitch some ideas, or
it was both? It was totally collaborative because, like, for instance, the screensaver idea, that has to be built off of a visual first. Like, you have this idea of like, I remember the DVDs and the DVD players rather, and what that used to look like. Okay, what makes sense, you know, word-wise, copy-wise, to complement that? But then there's something like, just, you know, we still have DVDs and humans. That line came first. And then it was like, all right, well, it actually makes perfect sense for that to feature Sandy because she is the human that you're going to see when you go to the store. You know, so it was a bit of both, totally collaborative as far as like what would come first, chicken or egg, copy or art direction.
Good. Yeah. Collaboration is that's how it should work, I think. Right. And there's sometimes talking to people, I've found there's kind of a different process. Sometimes they have a more, this person starts it, this person follows it up. But like, I think that's the best way to do it is, ideas can come from anywhere and then apply your skills in a way that makes it the best it can be, right?
Yeah, there've been other projects where, you know, like maybe I'll go off, or we'll kind of all go off in our separate corners and concept. And it's really just concepting first without any thought as far as what this is going to look like first. We have to make sure like this is very thought out, it's insightful, it has like a very strong idea, and then we can kind of figure out what the execution is going to be and what it's going to look like. But this one, like a lot of these ideas, we kind of just sat at the table together and brainstormed.
Great. I'll ask you to, from a high level now, sit back and look at how this campaign came to be, what happened, where it's been since, or how it's been covered since and stuff like that. Looking at it from a 30,000 foot view, is there any like insights or takeaways, or maybe people who are coming up in the industry, anything that you would point to as being a reason for its success, or something maybe you thought that could be done better, or any insight or takeaway you have looking back on it? And again, I know it's a very like ambiguous question, sure. But yeah.
No, I think the coolest thing about Blockbuster is like, if you're following Blockbuster, they have about, I don't know, 80,000 or so followers on Instagram. So it's a pretty healthy amount of people. But if you're following Blockbuster, you probably relate on an emotional level to the brand. Because it, again, it's not like a brand that is built off of innovation or built on being an industry leader at this point in 2023. Yeah. So I think the biggest thing to pull from this, as far as like why I think it resonated with people, because again, this was very simple. This was something that spoke so directly to those 80,000 people that follow the brand. If you're following it, you probably grew up with one like I did, not too far from the house. You remember Friday nights, you might have gone out with your family or friends. We're going to pick a couple of movies and we're going to bring them back in a couple of days. Or you rented video games. This is the first time a lot of people, you know, I remember what Blockbuster smells like. You know, like yeah. you walk in the store and there's this weird combination of popcorn, candy, dust, carpet cleaner, plastic, all kind of, you know, this weird gumbo, but it works. But it's so, you know, so
it's
this
the smell
this,
of Friday night. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's about as peak as Friday night gets right there, right? So like, I think the people that are tuned in to Blockbuster and follow the account, they relate to it on that same level. Like, I remember this. This is such a big part of my childhood. This is, you know, the same way people feel about like Toys R Us or anything that was part of, you know, your formative years. So I think like the takeaway there is like, if you people pay attention and buy things and connect to brands because of emotion and not thought, you know what I mean? Like you feel something and then that will cause you to then go and make a purchase or decide to click this link or share this post with somebody that you know, because you think they're going to feel something from it also. So that's the thing, like really tap into like an emotion and a feeling and something that resonates on a very human level with somebody. And then once you kind of have them there, you can give them some information if you want to do that or take them on whatever the ride or the story is. But if they don't feel anything, nothing is going to work. I don't care how clever, you know, the copy is or how good the art looks or any, none of that matters if it doesn't connect emotionally to the person on the other end of that ad.
That's some good wisdom right there. Facts. I think that's great insight. It makes me think about how the best creative comes from a well-established brand. Like if you and your team and Blockbuster at the client hadn't figured out like, what do we sound like? What's our tone? What's our personality? Mm-hmm. What do we stand on now that we're a different company than we were? All that brand strategy stuff, then something like the situation with Netflix would not be as clearly identifiable what you should do. Like, what do we do about this? You don't want to sound desperate or be like, who are these guys? Why are they involved in conversation? But by understanding what the brand is and how we want to come across, then the question is, okay, so what could that sound like? What could that look like? And that's where it's still, I'm not saying it's easy to do creative, but it's easier when you have that good brand strategy in place.
Brand, it's kind of like a, you know, a buddy that you're comfortable with making jokes about each other, you know, like just, you can loosen up and we'll throw a little jab back and forth. No harm, no foul. You know, that's kind of like, that's the spirit of what this campaign was. Like, let's take some lighthearted jabs. And that's where Blockbuster is. You know, this is like a friend that you've known since the 80s. We've been around, mm-hmm. we're familiar with one another. Let's have some fun. And I think that was the main thing. Like, people, again, reacted emotion or felt something on an emotional level, but also this was fun. Like, you can go and look in some of the comments. You know, there've been people, I think every post that Blockbuster puts up, there's always going to be people like, oh, are you coming back? Are you doing this? What are you doing? So there are people that are so invested in this brand. And I think if they were ever to make an announcement about something, people are going to come along for that ride. You know, there's so much equity in that brand.
Isn't that kind of funny how like we as a society picked Netflix over them essentially, right? We all kind of transitioned and that's why the company had to like die down to what it is now. But yet we're like, don't disappear though. We still like love you. The nostalgic aspect, like people don't want to go rent DVDs physically necessarily, but they don't want it to disappear entirely. And so it's like this weird situation where, they don't get to be the size of the company they used to be, but they almost have more love as from a brand perspective now than they ever did because they're the last holdout and there's that piece of nostalgia, like you mentioned, and it becomes kind of the underdog story. And
and they also play like a really cool role. Like this, a lot of these small shops in general, like there are people, like I mentioned earlier, that like the quality of, you know, what it's the same way that people listen to vinyl, right? Mm-hmm. There's a warmer feel or there's a texture that you're not going to get from a streaming service, you know, and there's also movies in Blockbuster's case that I'm sure you're going to be able to find in the store that aren't going to be available, you know, on a streaming service. You know, these, they, I think it plays a role in that sense, because it's kind of like a little bridge to something that you're not going to be able to get. You see all the time, like Netflix and a lot of these other streaming services, they cycle these movies on and off. So if you don't catch it within that window, you're not going to be able to see that until whenever the agreement is to put it back up, you know, if it comes back up. Versus if they have a DVD and it's in the store and it's available, you can go in there at any time and grab it, you know. So I think, you know, there's still a role, aside from nostalgia, a very practical role that I think for specific people, for that niche of either I collect or I'm looking for something that I can't find, maybe I can find it here. There's a role that Blockbuster plays, you know, for that reason also, you know, specific to that neighborhood, that that area in Bend, Oregon too.
Yeah, that campaign probably even hit differently for that specific community, because it's like that is the store down the street, and so it's even more powerful for them to keep that local love. Yeah, it's a good point. One thing that I also think that you did very well with your copywriting, even beyond this campaign that you mentioned, like the Super Bowl and stuff, is the mixing in of like a healthy amount of self-awareness, like the fact that Blockbuster knows they're not at the peak they used to be. They know that Netflix is way bigger. They can't actually compete on a business, you know, revenue basis with Netflix, but you wrote then that endearing message of like till the bitter end, and like we're still standing for these things, like, you know, human interaction and the classic formats that you love and things like that. And that self-awareness, different when brands do that, it's taken better than people trying to come across as something that they're not, right? And so you did a good job of leaning into that. And I'm not speaking for everyone in the world. My perception is everyone seemed to have received that in a positive way, where it's like, you can kind of poke, it's almost poking fun at yourself a little bit, right? Like, look,
a little self-deprecating
beat Netflix
humor
in something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think one of the best ways just speaking very broadly, to disarm somebody is to poke fun at yourself. Yeah. You know, like, we all have flaws, and there's things that I laugh about myself every day, you know? So you can't ever take yourself too serious. And I think with brands also, like, yeah, you want to do serious business in a sense. Like, you want to make sure all the T's and I's and all of that, you know, but the brand itself, like, we know we're the underdog here. So let's have fun. You know, this is a perfect opportunity to punch up. You know, it would look a different way if you have these, you know, behemoth corporations that then it becomes like kind of mean spirited, you know, where you're stomping out your competition kind of thing. And that's, there's a way to kind of galvanize your fan base there, or the people that really believe in your brand. Now they want to help to uplift you. They want to support you. They want to, hey man, like, I don't want to see you go away. So yeah, let's all rally behind you, and I'm going to buy a t-shirt, you know, just my $19.99 is going to go towards something that can, you know, help this brand out, you know, this store out. So yeah, like, to not take yourself too serious. And they were very open about that, or very open to that idea. It's like, you know, we know the position that we're in, you know, we know who we are. We know what we represent. Let's have some fun.
Good advice for advertising and for life. Don't take yourself too seriously. Well, thank you again for being on. As you continue with your career, is there anything that you'd like to promote, or anything that specific projects we should be on the lookout for coming through you?
So my personal website is aobaker.com. There's some of the work that I've done there. And then Atlantic-NewYork.com is where you can find the advertising agency. We have some things, I'm not sure what I can and can't talk about, but there are some things that are being worked on, and a lot of fun things. So yeah, just stay tuned. You know, we're all on all social at Atlantic New York as well. And on my socials are all at I am AO Baker. So yeah, just stay tuned in, stay tapped in. And it's going to be, you know, we're at the tail end of the year. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of fun happening.
Oh yeah. And are those, what's the best way to get in touch with you if anybody wants to reach out and contact you? Is it social media or that website?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Either way. Like, you can, my DMs are open, so you can hit me there. You can also, like, there's a contact form on my website. So either way, you know, definitely reach out. And if anybody wants to have a conversation about whatever, hit me up. But yeah, social media is probably the best way.
Great. Well, thank you again very much for being on. I'll definitely stay tuned and follow to see what you're up to. And thanks for the listeners to this episode. We hope that this isn't your first one. Hopefully you like the show. And if that's the case, then you can leave us a review. We'd appreciate that. Subscribe so you're notified for upcoming episodes. We'll have more insights and stories and interesting people like AO to join us. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.